Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Solid Rock Gospel broadcast this morning. Hey, before we turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 and continue our study about faith, I wanted to share this sentence filler with you, if you would. It says, "The grass is a lot greener on the other side of the fence, but then again, your neighbor's water bill may be a lot higher." And so I like that sometimes we compare ourselves with others. We look at the grass in their yard. We look at the car in their driveway. We look at the house that they might have or whatever you want to compare. And it always seems, if we're not careful, that they have something better than we do. And yet then again, what was the price that may have been paid for that? All right, so the point is that we don't look around and compare ourselves with ourselves. And we don't look at what somebody else has as far as just their physical belongings and make comparisons about how good they look on the outside or how many they have. We want to be people that say, hey, you know, I'm more interested in what God thinks about my life than what other people think about me. Now, I also want to be concerned about what other people think, but I'm more interested in making sure that God is pleased with my life. And if I know that I'm living according to the will of God, then I can have confidence that. In other words, the man who walks in integrity walks securely. And even if my faith in God, my desire to please Him, gets me in trouble with people here, even though it may cost me insult or persecution or promotion or anything like that, I still want to do what's right before God before I start comparing my life with someone else's. It's a great struggle sometimes because it's easy to look around at what others have and say, wow, you know, it doesn't seem fair. Well, I'll tell you what. What's fair is that God, in His great love for us and His grace for us, sent His Son to die for us. Now, that wasn't fair for Jesus, but He loved us so much that He was willing to do that for us. That's the power of the gospel. That's what faith really is all about, is knowing that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. But we can't seek Him our own way. We can't just have it our way. We've got to come to God on His terms. We have to come through the narrow gate, the narrow door, the narrow way, if you would, which is only through Jesus Christ. We talk about that frequently, and we always will, because there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. Jesus said Himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me." And that's not a burdensome, heavy, difficult thing. It's as easy as responding to God's grace in simple faith and obedience that says, hey, I will follow Jesus Christ with my life. All right, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, last week we started talking about the faith of Abraham. Now remember, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we don't see. Okay, faith is what we choose to live by. In other words, we don't doubt, we don't disbelieve, we don't say, phooey, I quit. We don't shrink back to be destroyed, but we have faith to be saved. And so in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, you can read about that in the last part of Genesis 11 and the first part of Genesis 12, like we did last week. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So again, by faith, he lived in the promised land. Okay, it was promised to him, but he never received all that had been promised, as we'll see in just a little bit. But he still lived there by faith. God said it, that settles it. He believed it. And so he lived, even though it was like a stranger in a foreign country, even though it was in tents. So in other words, he was a nomad, went from place to place. And as did his son and his grandson, Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And here's why he was able to do it. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So even though Abraham was a nomad and lived in tents, he was looking forward to the city with foundations. In other words, back then, the city was, wow, that was more permanent. And even that was, as long as it didn't get attacked by a greater force than the city itself. But Abraham was looking forward to a city with foundations, something solid, something permanent, something secure, something whose architect and builder is God. Okay, that's what Abraham was looking for. That's why he was willing to live in this promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. That's why he was able to continue to do that, even though the promises were never fully completed to him in his lifetime. He had faith in what God had said. All right, it's very similar to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7, right at the end of his life, Paul writes and he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Okay, that's what Abraham did. That's what all of these examples in chapter 11 did. They fought the good fight, they finished the race, they kept the faith. And Paul goes on to say, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So Abraham was looking for a city with foundations. Paul's looking forward to this crown of righteousness. And he says, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So even as Abraham longed for God to fulfill those promises that he made, even though it wasn't as fast as maybe Abraham wanted them, he still continued in faith. He looked forward to, and we need to look forward to all that God has promised us as well. Verse 11 goes on to say, and by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so Sarah's even brought in here. In other words, Abraham and Sarah both had to have faith when God told them that they were going to have a child. So back in Genesis chapter 15, when the word of the Lord came to Abram, and Abram said to the Lord in Genesis 15:2, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Okay, and so when he promised, the Lord promised these things to Abraham, he believed them. Even though he didn't even have children yet, he believed him, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, also over in Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18 as the three men, angels, came and visited Abraham at his tent. They asked him in verse 9, "Where is your wife Sarah?" "There in the tent," he said. And then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." All right, so yeah, maybe it took a little bit for them to really grab hold of that, but ultimately they did. And because they had faith in God, they continued right on doing what a husband and wife would normally do, even though they were past the age of that. And so she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Verse 12, "And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 4 for just a minute. I love the way it reads there. We've already shared this once at an earlier broadcast about faith. But in Romans chapter 4, in verse 18, it says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." And so, again, Abraham believed, Sarah believed, and so because they believed, not only did they indeed have Isaac just that year later, but then through that physical lineage, lots and lots of descendants. And then because ultimately the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one through whom all the world would be blessed, those people who hear the gospel about Jesus Christ and respond to it, who are added to the body of Christ, who are a part of that new creation through God's power, that guess what? They too are heirs of Abraham as well. And Galatians talks about that over in Galatians chapter 3. And so he says in verse 26 of Galatians 3, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so, isn't it amazing how through the faith of this one man and his wife, and the fact that they believed God's promise, and Abraham didn't back off of it, and Sarah, even though she laughed at first, went along with Abram in his faith and her faith. And so from this one man, verse 12 in Hebrews 11 says, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Friends, that's what faith is all about. And that's why Abraham is lifted up as such an example of what faith is. Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is called "Mighty to Save." Mighty to Save. And we need to remember that God certainly is. God It's possible for God to do anything, isn't it? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The angel asked. And so we need to recognize that God can save us and rescue us and deliver us, get us through life. And he's promised us an everlasting life in a far, far better state of things than the world that we live in right now. Something that we can look forward to. So let's listen by faith as we listen to Mighty to Save this morning.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Let's continue on in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 13. It says that all of these people, so the ones that we've already considered and talked about, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have certainly had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, man, as I read through that, there's so many different things that come to mind. That how amazing are these people that even though they did not receive the things that were promised to them, they were still living by faith when they died. And even though they saw them only from a distance, they welcomed them. They looked forward to them. They were absolutely confident about what they didn't have yet, but they trusted God. And they welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. In other words, like that song that we sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." That's the kind of people that we ought to be. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 11, Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles or aliens to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul." Okay, so you know he encourages them to do those same things. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. They're looking for something better. They're looking for something lasting, because if they wouldn't have, they would have had the opportunity to return. You know, I think about Lot and his family, that when the angels came to rescue them from Sodom and Gomorrah, that instead of rejoicing about being delivered from that, they almost had to be dragged out. They had to be taken out of the city, and they were told, "Don't look back." And yet Lot's wife looked back, and it was the idea, like, she was looking back like, "Oh, I'm going to miss it so much, and I can't believe it's going to be destroyed, and oh no." And she was looking at temporary things that are going to be destroyed. But we need to be people that go past that, and we need to be longing for a better country, something that's never going to be destroyed, something that's never going to be left, okay? A heavenly country. That's what God has promised us. And I love how it ends there in verse 16. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God." Okay? I don't want God to be ashamed about me. I'm sure I give him plenty of reasons to be at times. But I don't want God to be ashamed. And I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. And I don't want to be ashamed of him either. And so if we strive to make sure that we are exalting God and not being ashamed of him, we have a time to look forward to when God is not ashamed to call himself our God, for he has prepared a place for us, just like he prepared a place for them as well. Isn't that awesome? I mean, our God is an awesome God. Our God is just an awesome God that loves us and cares about us, and he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. What are the things of this world compared to that? And yet we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in all the things of this world. Yet, even as we still live in this world and strive to share the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God to those who think this is it, we need to hold out something better for them. Hey, let's listen to our last song this morning. This is a song by Chris Tomlin called "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And hey, friend, he's ready to lead you too if you're willing to come to him and get to know him and say, "I'll follow him too." Let's listen to Chris Tomlin this morning. "All the way my Savior leads me.
All the way my Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. And cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow. promise of his promise. In the triumph of his blood. And when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day. This is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling.
What a great song by Chris Tomlin, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And I hope he's leading you too. And if he's not, friends, we'd love to point you to him. We'd love to bring you into his presence so that you can walk by faith with him as well. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet together at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come join us on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to point you to Jesus. We'd love to just be able to share life with you because we all need each other, right? You can also find out more about us on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And hey, until next time, Lord willing, you just keep standing on that solid rock, whose architect and builder is God, the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Take care. God bless you.